Has anyone a favorite hymn they'd like to sing? Just as I am without one plea, I thought thy blood was shed for me, and thought thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, I come. I'll sing the first three verses of the hymn. 289. Just remain seated.
Just as I am, and without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse its heart, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, O tossed apart
with many
a conflict, many a dark, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. 304 will make this our opening hymn. It's a good old-fashioned hymn. We are never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong, Glory to God, Hallelujah. And we're going to sing all this hymn, and we're going to stand while we do so. And that's really praise the Lord this Thursday or Wednesday evening. I'm away ahead of myself. Okay, 304. Let us all stand, please.
Oh, we are never, never weary of the grand old song, Glory to God, Hallelujah. We can sing it loud and ever with our faith more strong, Glory to God, Hallelujah. Oh, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing, for the way it's growing bright, and our souls are on the wing. Oh, we are going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God, Hallelujah. Oh, we are lost amid the rapture of redeeming love. Glory to God, Hallelujah. We are rising on opinions to the hills above. Glory to God, Hallelujah. Oh, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing, for the way it's growing bright, and our souls are on the wing. Oh, we are going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God, Hallelujah. We are going to a palace. Soon behold, Glory to God, Hallelujah. Oh, the children of the Lord have heard. the King. Glory to God, hallelujah. There will shout redeeming mercy and the glad new song. Glory to God, hallelujah. There will sing the praise of Jesus, the blood washed strong. Glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, the children of the Lord have a right to and sing, for the it's growing bright and our souls are on the wing. Oh, we are going by and by to the palace of the King.
Isn't it lovely to know that? Sometimes we just sing it and we're not really grasping what we're singing. You know, there's a lovely wee chorus and it says this: what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day. What a glorious day. It's going to be. There'll be no more distractions, no more discouragements, no more nothing. Just to be with the Lord, it'll be far better. Is it any wonder we started with a hymn that we're never, never weary of the grand old song? Glory to God, hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong. Glory to God, hallelujah. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Let us come and seek the face of the Lord and pray for his blessing upon the meeting this evening. Lovely to see you and lovely to be here. Thank your minister for the invitation to come and share the message of the word of God with you this evening and to meet around the throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we humbly bow at your feet just this evening in your lovely name. The spotless name, the precious name, the only name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Thank thee, Lord, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin with the heavenly message. And we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ this evening that means so much to us, because it's because of what he has wrought for us. At the place called Calvary, we can sing this beautiful hymn together with such passion and conviction and meaning, knowing that one day the one who came and died on that middle tree and whose body was laid in a tomb but arose that third day according to the scriptures. We thank thee, Father, that we, as we approach thy throne of mercy tonight, we speak to one who's alive forevermore in the heavens and ever living in order to intercede in our behalf. And Father, we thank thee for this day that you've given to us again. We're very grateful for, Lord, every blessing that we have received at your hand today. And Father, if we were to count our many blessings and even try to name them one by one, it would surprise us, Lord, all that thou hast done. We thank you, Lord, not only for saving us, but for keeping us. We thank you, Father, for feeding us and clothing us, and for giving us churning mercies to be here in this house tonight. We thank you for the place, the house on the hill, the meeting place for the people of God. And we know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you promise to be there in the midst of your people. And Father, it is an absolute privilege for us to be found in this fashion, one with the other. But to know that thou art in the midst is something just more than wonderful. Lord, draw near to us tonight and minister to our hearts. Help us as we look at your word. You recognize that we're only sinners saved by grace at best, with all our faults, failings, and shortcomings. And Lord, we need your help. We thank you we have your word in our own mother tongue. We thank you, Lord, that we can meet, not making us afraid. And Father, we just pray tonight that you would bless us as we would look at thy truth this evening. We pray, Lord, that thou would speak to us prior to us coming to speak to thee. And Father, even as we would come to the place of prayer a little later on, that we might know the help and the enablement and the leading, guiding hand of thy Spirit, even in the matter of the things that thou would have us to bring before thee tonight. Should it be personal, should it be in the family or financially, or whatever the issue might be, we thank thee we can cast all of our cares upon thee. For Lord, we know that you care for us. Let those who are unable to be out of this time laid aside in sickness. Lord, every day we hear something new. Draw near to those who are in need of a touch from yourself this evening. And Lord, that they might know this very moment that underneath and around about them are indeed thine own everlasting army. Thank you, Father, for just giving us the opportunity to speak this evening. Do bless your word to our hearts, we pray. And may the Lord Jesus have the preeminence, in whose name we pray. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Folks, I want you to turn this evening. The last time I was here was in 2019, believe it or not. And this was before all this come into being. And we're now on the other side of it, hopefully. But the last time I was here, we spoke on the life of Joseph. And we looked at chapter 37 in your book of Genesis, if you want to follow that. And we just looked at some things. There were three specific verses of scripture that I mentioned on that occasion that have stuck with me down ever from I put any thought into this particular character study at all. But the three verses of scripture, you turn to Genesis 37, but I want to mention the three verses of scripture, maybe four, that can be written over his life and all that he faced and all that he went through. And it's simply this. John chapter 13 verse 7 says this: "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And we mentioned that away back then, and I'll mention it tonight again in case there were any missing on that occasion. The next two verses are very, very well-known verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I believe Joseph knew what it was to put them into practice, not just to know them in his head, as it were, but he knew what it was to put this truth into practice, and that was to trust in the Lord with all of his heart, and to lean not unto his own understanding, but in all his ways, to acknowledge the Lord, believing in his heart that the Lord would direct his path. The final verse I want to leave with you is an all wonderful verse, Romans chapter 8 and 28. Says these words: "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to his purpose." And if you take those four verses that I've just mentioned there, you can apply them to the life of Joseph from chapter 37 right through to the end of his life. So when you get to chapter 37 here, you will discover Joseph as a young man brought up in a dysfunctional family and faced his difficulties and his trials and his troubles. Joseph as a young boy received dreams from the Lord. In fact, if you go through his character study from 37 to the end of the book, you'll discover his life has been surrounded by dreams. They play an important part of everything that lies ahead of him. The dreams, of course, that he had in chapter 37 were dreams concerning something that God was going to do in the future. And Joseph, as a young boy, received this vision from the Lord, this dream from the Lord, and he made it known unto his brothers. And you and I know what happened there, because the brothers didn't like it. They said to him, "Are you saying to us, Joseph, that one day you're going to reign over us? Are you saying, Joseph, one day we're going to come and bow down to you? Is that what you're saying?" And that's what the family were relating concerning the dreams that he had spoken. And little did these boys know, neither his father, Jacob, at that time. None of them were aware of what they were actually saying to Joseph was the truth. But they didn't understand it. Neither did Joseph understand it. Though he got these dreams, he was not aware of exactly what they meant. But the day would come when he would come to an understanding of these dreams. You and I looked at the circumstances concerning his life at that time. We can see how there was the affliction among the brothers of the household. They didn't like him, and they didn't like him because, for several reasons, of course. One of them being that his father had given him a beautiful coat of many colours and presented it to him, and because this had happened, well, they hated him with real vengeance. We can see that the brothers went away in chapter 37. They went away to look after the flock. We can see after a period of time that the Lord, or Jacob, spoke to Joseph and he says, listen, I want you to go and see how they're doing. I want you to go and visit your brothers, make sure they're all right, and make sure that the flock's all right. And you and I, as you look at chapter 37, you'll see Joseph's obedience to his father's wishes, knowing in his heart that there was a real conflict there between him and the brothers. But nonetheless, he was willing to go. And he went on the journey. We've seen that when he arrived, first of all, at the first place where they were meant to be, they weren't there. They had moved on. But as Joseph wandered in the field, wondering where they were, unaware of where they were at all of a sudden this individual appears to him. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he come from. But what I'm saying to you is this: God had him in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. And this person who was in the right place at the right time for the right purpose was to point Joseph in the way that God wanted him to go, and to direct him in God's providential dealings in his life. And it's absolutely fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. I was just reading something tonight before I left the house in Genesis chapter 15, where God spoke to Abraham. And he talked about his offspring. In fact, turn to chapter 15 just till you see it there. You need to read it for yourself. And the reason I'm getting you to turn to it as well is because I can't remember it all in my head. Where are we at here? Verse 13. See what it says there in verse 13. And he said unto Abraham, chapter 15, verse 13. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now watch it. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Now that was spoken in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. Even before this great nation is coming together. So what I'm saying to you here is that the stories in the Bible is just not an isolated incident. It's a bigger picture all the time. And you'll discover as you go through the Old Testament books of the Bible, you'll discover the bigger picture. What is the bigger picture? Well, it's the lineage of Christ, isn't it? Coming into the Word. And when you get to Matthew chapter 1 there, you'll discover how this is all brought about. You'll find the genealogy. You'll find how Christ was born into the world. And it all happened because of the bigger picture. And it's amazing who's stuck in the middle of the lineage of Christ. Who brought God himself has brought into being. So Abraham was aware of something was going to happen many years later down the road. So here we have Joseph. And we want to just take a wee look at him this evening. Take a look there at the, where do I see here where I'm at? Take a wee look here chapter 37, verse 29. You see what it says here? We'll just go in at this point here. Now, Reuben had already stood up for Joseph earlier on in the chapter 37, verse 22. And, you know, when Joseph came unto his brothers, they were going to kill him. That was the intent of the hatred. We're going to kill him. And we'll just put him and we'll just bury him in the pit. That's just what we'll do with him. But Reuben stood up for him, and Reuben said in verse 22, he said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver him to his father again. That was the intentions of Reuben. He didn't want to kill his brother. In fact, he wanted to return Joseph back to Jacob again. But I want to say something here just in passing. That couldn't happen. There's no way that Reuben could return Joseph to Jacob at this specific period of time, because God had a plan and a purpose for his life. And he wasn't going to see his father again for over 20 years. And the day that Joseph left home, little did he know that the day he said goodbye to Jacob, his father, that he wouldn't see him again for years upon years. He wasn't aware of what he was facing, what he was going to have to go through. But the Lord was leading and guiding and directing every step of the way. Reuben had went away from this group of boys after they put him in the pit. We see that they sold him off for 20 pieces of silver. They made a few bob on him. And in the meantime, Reuben came back in verse 29, and it says, Reuben returned unto the pit. Why did he go to the pit? Because he expected to find Joseph in the pit. Now, where Reuben was, I don't know. I don't think he was up to no good. But he's back at the pit anyway, and he looks into the pit, and behold, Joseph is not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And after he rent his clothes, he returned unto his brethren, and he said, This child is not, and I, whither shall I go? What am I going to do? Where is he? He got into a real pucker. He was in a real dilemma. So they decided what they would do. And I have a wee verse of scripture written above my Bible here, and it says this, say, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? For these boys had to cover up what they had done. They just sold their brother. They just turned their back on him. They'd taken the money for the price of their brother, 20 pieces of silver. There's great parallels with Christ also with this. But watch this here. Take a look at verse 32, or verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat. That's the one that they took off him when he came to them there in this chapter. And then they killed a kid of the goats, and they dipped the coat, Joseph's coat, they dipped it in the blood. Now, what did they intend to do? Well, verse 32. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, I want you to see them now just coming to Dad. I want you to see them coming with this blood-stained garment in their hand, probably dried hard now with the heat of the day. I don't know how long it would have took them to eventually get back home. But they came back home anyway, and the coat in their hand, and here they're coming in, and they're coming in before their father, and they said to him in verse 32, this have we found. See what we found, Dad? They didn't find it. They dropped it off his back. This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. They knew exactly whose coat it was. They knew that the coat that they held in their hand was their brother's coat. They knew that the coat that they held in their hand was the coat that they pulled off their brother before they threw him in the pit and eventually sold him off as a slave. But here they're making out as they know, they don't even know whose coat it is. And they're asking their dad, do you think this is Joseph's coat? And the Bible says in verse 33, and Jacob knew it. See, when Jacob seen it, he knew it. And when Jacob seen the coat, he said, I want you to see into the heart of the man here. When he knew the coat, he said, it is my son's coat. It's Joseph's coat. It is his. Yeah. But you can see on into the heart of the man, because he said something else. He said, an evil beast has devoured Joseph. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Can you see him now sitting? He's a broken man. I tell you, he's a broken man. And I want to tell you, for the next 20 odd years, this man wasn't the same. He wept and he mourned and he broke his heart over thinking that he had lost his son. And circumstances laid heavily upon his heart. And here's a man and he's weeping. Do you see something else about him here in this chapter? I just think it's lovely. Yeah, the Bible says in verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and he put on sackcloth upon his loins. Now watch this. And mourned for his son many days. I want to tell you, here's a broken-hearted father. Is your heart broke tonight? Through some circumstance in life? Going through difficult periods that nobody else knows anything about? Daddy's tears, and Daddy's heart broken. And here he is, and his heart's broken, and he's rent his clothes, and he's put on sackcloth upon his loins, and he's now mourning, and it says he mourned for his son many days. Now I want you just to take a look at him as he sits there. He's a miserable sight. But I want you to take a look at his sons as they stand around him. I want you to think of what they know, what has happened to Joseph. And yet, they're willing to cover it up. And to play along with their father's feelings and with their father's thoughts and just to go along with it. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So here we have a man and he's broken. Verse 35, you can see the two-facedness of the children. It says in verse 35, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, here's what he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Jacob really thought he was dead. In other words, he's simply saying this, I'm never going to get over it. And though they tried to comfort him, how two-faced can you get? Knowing fine rightly that the one that they were seeking to comfort was breaking his heart because he thought his son was gone, when they knew fine rightly that his son was still alive. So we leave Jacob here in chapter 37. Broken man. A man beaten down with a broken and burdened heart. And that dysfunctional family around him lying and cheating before his very face. But yet verse 36 says these words, it finishes, and the Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Now we need to go to chapter 39. Because we leave Jacob here, we'll just leave him there, and we'll pick up where Joseph is now. It's been a period of time, you and I read the Bible, and sometimes we read it and we think it's just a few moments or a few hours or maybe a few days. Well, it was a lot more. But we can see here that now Joseph has been taken as a slave. He has been brought down into Egypt. We discover here that there's a boy called Potiphar. He's an officer of Pharaoh. He's a captain of the guard, an Egyptian. And when Joseph, along with others, are brought to the slave market to be sold, Joseph is standing there. He's a stranger in a strange land. He's been rejected by his brothers. He's now away from his father who loved him with all of his heart. And his whole circumstances is now different. And here's a young man standing in a strange place on the slave market. And here's a man called Potiphar, who's an officer of Pharaoh, who's a captain of the guard. We see that he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now what he was bought for is not a good thought. He was sold for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites. But he was sold on by the Ishmaelites to Potiphar. I just wonder, was he sold for the 30 pieces of silver? Price of a slave. Potiphar takes him and he brings him home. And he goes to the house of Potiphar and he goes there to be his slave boy under his dictatorship, under his rule, under his roof. But there's a wee phrase just pops up throughout the life of Joseph here and there and yonder. And I think it's a lovely wee phrase. And can you see it there in verse 2? It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." I want you to just think that in. The Lord. I want you to think who was with him. The Lord was with. The Lord was with Joseph. Even present of the Lord and with you today. Whether it's out at work, whether it's in the scullery or in the home doing your everyday labors, whether it's in the field farming, what the Bible says about the Lord. Says he's a friend and he sticketh closer than any brother. And it was the Lord gave Joseph the strength to go on from day to day in the midst of his troubles. It was the Lord gave Joseph the strength to go on in the midst of his trials and his afflictions. I want to tell you, his feet were sore with the stocks that he had walked in for all those miles. Yeah. And every step that he took, he never took it alone, because the Lord was with him every step of the way. And dear friend, the Lord hasn't changed. The same Lord, he was with Joseph in his circumstances in Genesis chapter 37, is the same Lord who's with us today in this year of 2022. Do you know why? Because my Lord is the same yesterday, and he's the same today, and he's the same forever. He never changes. And there in the household of Potiphar, under his influence and rule, the Lord was with him every step of the way. Not only was the Lord with him, but we see something else. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Now that doesn't mean he was a wealthy man. It doesn't mean he had plenty in the bank. It just seemed whatever he seemed to put his hand to, God made it to prosper. God blessed him personally and individually. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, this boy called Potiphar. But I want you to see another wee phrase here that pops up in verse 3. Because not only did we see that the Lord was with him, and not only did we see in verse 2 that he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, but there's an amazing wee statement here in verse 3, and it says this, and his master saw, Potiphar saw what? Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. You've got to stop and ask the question. How did he see the Lord in the life of Joseph? Was it by his conduct? Was it by his actions? Was it by his witness for God, even in the home of Potiphar? But what I'm saying to you is this. There was something in this young man's life that shone out and brought glory and honor to the Lord who was with him. He was different. And dear friend, the child of God must be different. Even in this old world that we're living in, and I want to tell you, there's many temptations out there to draw us away from the things of the Lord. And if there's ever a day we needed to pray for our young people, it's today. Maybe your son grew cold away from God, no thought anymore for God. You've sought to point them and bring them up as best you can. Point them in the right direction. Yeah, the Lord saw that this man was different. Now we need to pray for young people that the Lord would just put his arm upon them. And if there is any that's got away from God, that the Lord would bring them back again. And that be restored to the place where God would want them to be. Master saw that the Lord was with him. And not only saw that the characteristics of the life, but something else here, watch it. He also saw that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I tell you, he recognized things in this young man's life. He recognized that he was different. He could see the Lord in his life. He could see no matter what he put a scene to put his hand to, it worked. So that led him to do something about it. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. I want to tell you, he seen enough that led him to put this man into a place of position where everything was under his control. He had such confidence in him. The Bible says that Joseph found grace in his sight. The Bible says that Joseph served him. Even when the circumstances are dire and difficult, when the Lord's with us, he does give us the grace to get through. For he says, my grace is always sufficient for you. So he made him overseer over his house. And not only over his house, but all that he had. All that he had, he had put into his hands. So things began to get different in Joseph's life. Things began to begin to work out. And the Bible says in verse 5, and it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Now this man had never known blessing like this before. But what you will recognize this in the life of Joseph, everything's of the Lord. The Lord blessed Joseph. The Lord made him a prosperous man. It was the Lord that, no matter what he put his hand to, the Lord made it work. It was the Lord. And the Bible says, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house, and not only in the house, but in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. That word goodly just means handsome. He was a good looking young man. Isn't it fascinating where it puts it in here in Scripture? I believe he had a good physique. I believe he had a good brain. I believe he was good to look at. He was a handsome young man, not only outward on the outward appearance, but he certainly shone for the Lord from the inside. And here was a young man now, had been brought into a position in the household of Potiphar. He had made him overseer over everything that he had in the house and beyond the house. And everything that he put his hand to prospered, and God blessed it. And my, everything now seems to be going well for a period of time. But then disaster strikes. Because Potiphar had a wife. And the wife of Potiphar had a weak spot. And that weak spot was for other men. And we read about this in verse 7, and I'm not going to get anywhere near where I want to go tonight, because we'll have to get down to prayer. You notice what verse 7 says. It says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph And she said, I tell you, he was a handsome young man. He was the best looking man in the household that was there. To the extent when this girl seen him, she always sought to be in his presence, and it became an act of lust. She wanted him to lie with her. And she wasn't a bit afraid to come and ask. She wasn't a bit afraid to come and say to him, listen, she says, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. But Joseph refused. If David would only have done the same thing in his day. But Joseph knew that this was wrong. And it wasn't the thing that he ought to be doing. And what she was asking him to do wasn't right. How did he respond? Well, but he refused. Verse 8, and he said unto his master's wife, you notice what he says to her, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand, and there is none greater in this house than I. Now, he's not boasting here. He's simply making out that he has made him overseer over the whole house. I'm the one who looks after this all. It's because your master has given me this position. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me. Verse 9. But thee, because thou art his wife. It's wrong because you're his wife. And it's not only wrong because you're his wife. He goes on to say, how then can I do this great wickedness? It's not called a great wickedness out there anymore, it's just not. Would you ever believe that you're seeing the things unfold before you that's happening around us today? Would you have thought about it 20 years ago? But I want to tell you this, Joseph seen it as a great wickedness. Not only before man, but more importantly, it's a sin against God. And you can see him standing face to face with this girl. And he's saying, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Can't do it. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, watch it. She wasn't willing to lie down. She wasn't willing to stop. The Bible says that it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. There was a constant hounding of him. Day after day, she ran after him. And the Bible says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Didn't want anything to do with her. He wanted to get away as far as he could. Verse 10 says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, just as other times. There was none of the men of the house there within, and she caught him. She had got to the point where she was throwing herself at him. She was going to take him by force. She caught him by his garment, saying, will you lie with me? Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I want to tell you, things were going to change in the life of Joseph again under the roof of Potiphar. And he left his coat in her hand. And he ran out, he fled out, the Bible tells me. He got out as hard as he could and fled and got him out. Verse 13. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she realized she wasn't going to have her way with him. She called unto the men of her house, and she spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. She was saying that he tried to rape her. It was an accusation against Joseph. And she was telling it to the other men of the house. And the coat that she held in her hand was the evidence that he was in the house with her. And everything seemed to be pointing against Joseph, God's child. Now watch, and we'll finish in verse 18-19. It says in verse 15, and it came to pass when he heard, well, she had spoken, verse 14, she called unto the men of her house, and she spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought forth. Now she's speaking about her son, or about her husband. He hath brought forth an Hebrew unto us, to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. So she had these boys as evidence. She had back up to the story. She had the boys around her. She had the garment in her hand. Her Lord was coming home. What does it say that she said to him here? Yes. Verse 17, she spake unto him according to these words, saying, Do you see the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me? And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now I just want to hear about the response of Potiphar. Potiphar was the officer of the guard. It is said by historians that this man had the authority of putting people to death. Do you ever wonder why he didn't? Do you ever wonder why he hadn't this boy Joseph put to death after finding out this accusation, backed up by the men standing around her bed with Joseph's coat in her hand? Did you ever wonder why he didn't do it? Well, of course the answer is he couldn't do it. But I just wonder, had he some other wee thought in the back of his head? I just wonder, had he an idea that this wife of his had been unfaithful to him before? And he didn't really trust her. And rather than having him put him to death, you know what he did? He gave the command that he would be put into a prison cell. But we'll finish with this. You see what it says here in verse 7? Or verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And Joseph was there in the prison. Boys, how circumstances changed again for the young man. His life was like a roller coaster. He was up one minute and down the next. He was going through a good period of there in the household of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had given him great position in the household, made him overseer, and now he has had this false accusation. You can just imagine the news coming out that morning in the local paper, couldn't you? You could just imagine the main frontline head news. You could just imagine turning on your Jeep being used and the main headline being across your screen. You could just imagine Mr. Nolan there any morning of the week speaking about what was happening. Or some other radio station. And here was a man found himself in a prison cell for something that he never done. And I could never imagine what Joseph was going through. I could never imagine what Joseph was feeling. I could never imagine the despair that he must have been in. But we finish with a verse. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. All right? He's still with him. Mind hearing a story one time, and often think about it when I come to this passage. It was a story of a wee man who had got converted, and a wee man had been a heavy drinker all of his day. And glory to God, under some mission or some evangelist or some Christian or whatever way it happened, I don't know, but this man came to a knowledge of the truth of the gospel and got right with God. The last visit he made to the pub, he would have spent all his money before his conversion. And he had spent it all that night until he had come to a point where he asked for one more drink and he says, "You may put it in the book." The man put it in the book and he went over for the bottle of beer, let's say, at that book. When he left the pub that night, it was the last night he was ever to take another drink. For he got saved shortly after that. After a few weeks of his conversion, he remembered, "I owe a debt that I need to sort out." And he remembered he had taken that last drink, and he remembered that he hadn't the money to pay for it, and he remembered that it went into the book. And he headed down to that wee pub. And he walked in through the door and the boy spoke to him at the bar. He says, "What do you want, Jimmy?" "We just say Jimmy." And he says, "I'm only here to pay my debt. What owe you?" "And not goodbye." He told him what had happened when he paid his debt. And he walked out the door. The Lord had really saved him. The wee church he was going to, somebody seen him coming out the pub door. And they couldn't wait to get away to tell somebody else. You know who seen the day? I seen wee Jimmy. He must be way back to the pub. And it just spread like wildfire. This false accusation was made about wee Jimmy. But wee Jimmy was only there to pay his debt. And to give a testimony to what the Lord had done in his life. And that false accusation could correct him. Always be careful what we see. And always be careful what we say. Or it can be the ruination of whether you're saint. And Joseph's in the prison. The circumstances have changed. But the Lord's still with him. Isn't it lovely? I thank God today. So there's about in the air, lorry around, pour it down. You know the Lord's in the lorry. And sometimes you just walk with him. You talk with him. You sing to him. You just praise him for all that he has done. That he has done for us. And if you take nothing else home from the meeting tonight, take this thought. And the Lord was with him. And whatever you have to face in the days to come, the Lord will be with you. Isn't it lovely? How would you get through life without him? May God bless these few thoughts to your heart. We'll leave him there in the prison cell this evening. And it's just food for thought through all these different things that we've been mentioning this evening. And you know, there's a bigger picture. Always remember, you remember the wee verse that I started with tonight. Keep it in mind as you study the life of Joseph. Joseph, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. What I want you to do, Joseph, is simply this. In the midst of all that you're going through, I want you to trust in me with all your heart. And to lean not onto your own understanding, but on all your ways to acknowledge me. And Joseph, I will direct thy path. So Joseph's in the pit. Rawls are looking after the flock back home. Jacob's breaking his heart. But God's on the throne. Working all things out together for good. But for his people. Isn't it lovely? May God bless his truth. Father, we thank you for the meeting tonight. Just thank you, Father, for the privilege of having your word that just fills our souls. We recognize, Lord, that you're the